educational series then, which is on New Testament doxologies. Just means glory words, doxa glory, logos word, outbursts of praise that sort of pop up frequently in the New Testament when the writers just can't control themselves. They just, I've just got to praise God. I've just got to give glory to God. And they're lovely things to look at, particularly in the frustrations of life at the moment, because I think they're very much like warm sunshine on your face. They sort of make you look up and remember quite how good God is. And these two verses then, pretty much at the end of the book of Hebrews, they say, look, we must give glory to God. And primarily here, it's because of what he does for us rather than so much who he is. I mean, it's a fairly dense thing, but I'm just going to highlight two things, really. He shepherds us and he equips us. Okay, those two things he does. He shepherds us and he equips us. Now, I've never worked as a shepherd in my life. Pretty much most things I learned about shepherd, I learned from a man called Ben Shikwate, who I was at theological college with, and he was from Namibia and had spent his teenage years working as a shepherd. And so, he, you know, whenever anything came up in the Bible about shepherds, we all asked Ben if, you know, what it's really like. And the things I particularly remember him saying really are that sheep are incredibly stupid. He said that's the main thing he learned from being a shepherd. He said the numerous times you'd come up to a gate and it's obvious there's nothing the other side of the gate, but the sheep would all just stop. And no one wants to be the first through the gate because who knows what's through there. And so you'd have to sort of whack one on the bum. And as soon as the first one had gone through, the rest would happily go through. It's just sort of completely irrational, stupid. Of course, they've got dreadful eyesight. So sheep wander all over the place. They're quite good with their ears. And so the shepherds would call and Flossie and Larry and whoever would sort of, you know, they hear the shepherd's voice and then they'd come back. But their eyesight's terrible. That's why you need sheep and a sheepdog to gather them in the pen. But I think the main thing I took away from Ben Shikwate was sheep are stupid. They have irrational fears. Oh, and there are real predators out to get them as well. And, you know, he has some great stories of not lions, but fighting off other creatures to keep his sheep safe. So when we're told that we need a shepherd, and we have rather, a great shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's both very wonderful and actually a little bit humiliating that we need it. It's humbling and very wonderful. But anyway, that's us. But so two things we're told here. He's a great shepherd and he equips us. So verse 20, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. It's a bit of a drum roll there. Through the blood of the eternal covenant in the book of Hebrews, that is just the new covenant. That's chapter 8 makes it absolutely clear. There's nothing more to it than that. But Jesus's death, symbolized by his blood, makes an eternal, or in older translations, everlasting covenant. In other words, Jesus's sacrifice ensures that he'll never let us go. God has promised he can never let us go. Jesus will be our shepherd forever. Of course, he appoints under shepherds. Since the time of Jesus, pastors, ministers, some are wonderful, some are disgraceful and bring disgrace and dishonor to the name of Jesus. It's always been that way. Back in Ezekiel 34, the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34, the Lord says, I am absolutely appalled, just appalled by the human shepherds. And so he makes this promise. God himself says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. God says, Ezekiel 34, I'll do that. And then 600 years later, of course, Jesus appears and John 10 says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one you've been waiting for. And this is my work, searching for the lost binding up the injured, strengthening the weak. And that is the everlasting shepherd that you and I have if we're believers. And that's what Jesus is about, searching out the lost, binding up those who are injured, broken, wounded, and giving strength to those who are weak. That's Jesus's work. And of course, he'll say, John 10, I'll lay down my life for my sheep, not by defending them from a lion, but by taking the punishment of eternal death. I'll lay down my life for my sheep. So this is our shepherd. He is wonderful. We're like sheep, of course, daft, poor eyesight, poor at seeing what's really in front of us. We have irrational fears like sheep do. We have real predators out to do us harm like sheep do. But Jesus knows us. Of course, in John 10, very wonderfully, he says, my sheep know me and they know my voice. And so when we hear the voice of Jesus, we go to him. We listen to him. When the scriptures, when the Bible is rightly taught, we hear the voice of Jesus calling us to follow him. And when we're drifting away, the voice of Jesus yanks us back. And when we're broken, the voice of Jesus in the scriptures heals us, strengthens us, tends us. In daily life, the voice of Jesus shows us where to go, guides us, warns us about possible dangers. And that's our shepherd. And that's the work he's about, even today. So Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. And because of that, we can be confident, second little thing, he equips us. Verse 21, that he will equip us with all that we need. So verse 20, may the God of peace, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He equips us with everything that we need to do his will. There is nothing that we lack to do God's will, which is fabulous. The death of Prince Philip, very sadly, on Friday, and lots of stuff on the news, of course, and all the stuff about the DV. I don't know if you did DV, your children have done DV, if you have them, your parents have done DV. But certainly on the expeditions we dispatched our teenage son on DV expeditions for whatever, two or three nights. It's normally been, you know, okay, night before, here's all the stuff on your bed, all right? Oh, there's so much stuff. No, but, you know, take the stuff. Look, here, you know, oh, I don't need all that food. Take all the food. I don't need all those layers. Take all the layers. What's this? This is a new sleeping bag that I've got for you. It is super light, incredibly compact, and three seasons. It's better than you need. And here is a new rucksack, which is super comfortable. And, you know, for you, the little prince, it will pamper you with your nice cushioning, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, very much. Obviously, goes off of the expedition, comes back after, whatever, 3 days. Okay, so how did it go? Yeah, so were you hungry? No. I did eat all the food you gave. Yeah, great. Were you cold? No. I did wear all the layers that you gave me. Rucksack all right? Yeah. Incredibly comfortable and everything fitted in beautifully. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's like a gold medal from a teenager. Yeah, his very fallible mother and father equipped him with everything he needed for the 3 days. God is a better father. He's a better shepherd. He equips us with everything we need because he's a better planner than any human. He knows us. He knows the future. He knows what we face. He knows the problems we'll have. He knows the resources that we'll have to have to get beyond those problems. He knows it all. He equips us with all. We have everything good for doing his will. And I need to know that because it means I lack nothing. And there are times, of course, where I think I'd love more time in each day. How about 30 hours in the day? How about 10 days in the week? That'd be useful. I'd love more energy. I'd love more intellectual clout. I'd love more strength. But God has given me everything I need. everything I need. I have it all. Listen to him to do his will. And so do you. You lack nothing. You've got everything you need. And so you and I as Christians can live a life that is pleasing to him. But of course, if you are a Christian, like most of us, in our better moments, we think, oh, Lord, I want to live a life that's pleasing to you, not to earn your favor because you love me already because of Jesus, but because I want to make my dad proud of me, as it were. And here's a reminder, God has given us everything we need in order to live a life that puts a smile on his face. And we lack nothing. And our great shepherd has given it to us and keeps on giving it to us day by day, month by month, year by year. And so the writer says, well, glory be to this God. He's given us the shepherd we need who provides everything in order to live a life that brings delight to him. And we give him thanks and we give him glory that he never leaves us without. Let me pray briefly. Great God and Father, we're conscious in the news in the last few months or in our lives perhaps, there are some good shepherds, there are some fallible ones, but in the Lord Jesus, we have the great shepherd who knows every one of his sheep by name, who knows every one of his sheep better than they know themselves, who equips us with everything we need to live this life in a manner which is pleasing to you, to do your will. We lack nothing. And so we do want to give you great thanks that you're a delightful, delightful, glorious shepherd. And we praise you that we can live this life because of the sustaining grace that comes to us through our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus. We praise you in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.